inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe.
How a weed juice or weed tea can help your yard and garden? Master Gardener Ed Byarski has the recipe in this week's edition of Garden Talk. He also tells us about another round of planting in his garden this month.
As I'm pulling weeds out of my primrose beds and gardens of various sorts, and everything from horsetail and buttercups and other assorted stuff, whatever there is, and that could include spent plants too, and goes into a bucket. Usually I try to throw a handful or two of seaweed in the bucket and then fill it with water. And I let it set for, 1 to 2 weeks usually. It turns brown, kind of disgusting, especially when you stir it. So you want to keep it kind of in a place a little ways away from the house, but near the garden. And it does, basically you're breaking down all the plant nutrients, all the stuff that's in the plants that I am going to feed back to my plants.
And what kind of nutrients are we talking about here?
Well, everything, all the major and minor nutrients from nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium that the plants take up. And, of course, the weeds sometimes are more efficient at doing it than the plants that we plant deliberately. So, again, we're extracting stuff. They are extracting nutrients and minerals from the soil. And then once I take this disgusting brown liquid, well, it's kind of slimy brown liquid, sort of, sometimes marginally liquid, and dilute that. Don't want to pour it on straight because it is pretty powerful. But I usually dilute it about a gallon of that material to 4 gallons of water in a bucket, and then pour it around transplants. It's really great for a transplant stimulation, as well as even just watering my greenhouse plants, tomatoes, cucumbers, and other stuff, squash that are in there. Beets and beans that are in my hoop house. So all of this good nutrients, again, we're recycling. Yes, it's the equivalent of, I suppose, compost tea without going through the composting.
Is there anything you have to worry about as far as any elements or pieces of the weeds and grass or other plants being retained in that solution? Is
sure.
that something you have to filter out?
Well, I'm not filtering it, but if you leave the stuff to work and ferment and break down, it does. What I find is that any chunks that are left tend to settle out. And, of course, there's soil in the bottom, too, because I'm pulling up roots and all. So that material, at least, settles out, and then it will probably get, when I use up the stuff in the liquid part on top, then it's likely to get poured into a hole in between some plants, and then that will break down. You do want to be careful what you put in the bucket. So you don't want to put plants that have gone to seed in there, because the seeds may well float is one thing that happens. And even pulling dandelions with the seed heads on them, they really float pretty well. Certainly you don't want to be pouring the seeds back onto your plants. So if you have plants going to seed, remove those and, into a garbage bag, burn them, bury them deep somewhere.
Right.
And the other thing would be, if folks were thinking about doing maybe grass clippings, which they could do, I would say in small quantities of that, because it is very high nitrogen, grass clippings are. But you also would not want to use grass clippings or any clippings, from a lawn that might have been treated with weed and feed.
Oh.
Because of the herbicides that are there.
And which could be carried over to whatever you're trying to feed with this weed tea.
Exactly. That would not be a good thing. So yes, being cautious about what goes in there. I mean, even, as noxious as horsetail is, that I can throw in there, and that's safe because it is breaking down in there. Unlike trying to compost horsetail is a very difficult thing to do, to try to get it to break down, unless you're making a hot compost.
Okay, and how much water do you usually start this tea batch with?
Oh, well, I start out with a 5-gallon bucket, fill it with about 2/3 full with the vegetation, weeds of various sorts, and then fill the bucket with water.
Okay, and what are you planting right now?
So I've been transplanting broccoli and cabbage that I had started in, literally just planted seeds in rows in the garden. And so I was thinning out and pulling, in fact, from two rows that were 4 feet long, I filled 2 4-by-16-foot boxes with cabbages and broccoli. So they were pretty thick, obviously, in there. I am still going to be planting more of rutabagas and kale. The kale is growing well now, but I will plant some more of that. I need to plant more lettuce, and we're waiting to plant, because it's still too early and the days are too long, for things like spinach and radishes. So that will wait until probably mid to late July before any of that goes in.
And that's after the danger of any sort of bolting and them going to
seed. Well, yeah, hopefully. Hopefully, yes.
Okay.
You know, that, again, our days are getting shorter, much as we hate to say it, but there's plenty of daylight out there. So they will grow. And, of course, with the soil being warm, stuff is going to sprout quickly. So, again, that's another advantage of planting stuff at this time of year to, well, extend the season well into the fall, which, you know, we're always harvesting and continuing to harvest into, who knows what our weather's going to be this fall. But I'm assuming into October and perhaps November.
Okay. Ed Byarski, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Matt.
Feel the need to grow my own.
Garden Talk is a weekly feature on KTOO's Morning Edition every Thursday during the spring, summer, and early fall.
Nature's chain, tune my body and my brain to the music from the land.